And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour, starring Zachary Tennis Gilbert and my co-host, Dan Spooky Ford. little Halloween twist.
Boogins.
But it is, we got Halloween weekend. Any big plans, Dan? You gonna dress up like a, what do people up there in Yankee Carolina dress up as? Like a hippie or
Doctor
something?
Oh, Doctor Who, obviously.
Doctor Who. I'm not gonna dress up because I'm
an adult. You know,
yes.
Yeah.
And me and West Coast West actually did have a little Halloween talk on the roundup, and I kind of tell my reasons for not liking Halloween. So there's something to look forward to.
Well, I mean, if I can jump in on that and give my reasons for not caring a ton about it. One, like I'm not somebody who's like obsessed with pretending to still be a child. So, it didn't have a big appeal to me. And I didn't really care about it as a kid either. Like, there's nothing in there. It don't make it for me.
Yeah. And I kind of talk about this later, but I mean, it's kind of like the gateway to the holiday season for me. Give me Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah.
All day.
Yeah.
Those are my
Halloween
holidays.
Just seems like, I mean, I guess if I had kids, I would care more about it. I don't get like the adult Halloween. I don't get
no,
that.
No, if I was like an attractive girl, yeah. I'm showing off my body. All right, you know what? If I'm ripped, if I have a six-pack, which I may, I'm showing that off for Halloween.
You got a Dave Meltzer six-pack?
Yeah, got the Meltzy six-pack. But you know what else Halloween means to me, Dan?
What's it mean?
That's the start of the NBA season.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, spooky segue. But yeah, as we're recording, the NBA kicked off tonight. Cleveland beat New York. So pretty solid night for Cleveland, actually, because they're currently leading in the World Series as of recording time.
You know, it's the year of Cleveland.
Yeah. So hopefully we get a 2017, because I feel like
we're flirting with disaster here.
Well, I think
if the Browns reel off like a 4-game winning streak, then all hell.
Yeah, I think the Browns have to go winless for the Earth not to explode.
Sure.
It all comes
and they'll be
to
happy
it,
to so. Oblige.
That'd be a great Michael Bay movie.
Someone has to stop the Browns to save
winning,
the Earth.
Yeah. It'd be like that horrible NFL GM movie. The one about the draft. Yeah.
Oh, wasn't it called The Draft?
Something like, you know what, that might be something in the future. We might need to watch The Draft and review it on the show.
do a commentary track, like a riff track.
Ooh, bonus, yeah. We get the Pantheon set up. Well, a little bonus. But NBA kicking off. Yeah.
Speaking of spooky things,
mm-hmm.
what team do you think has more players having nightmares on it than the LA Clippers? Like, I feel like every guy on that team wakes up in a cold sweat screaming.
Maybe
at least three times a night.
You know what? I'd like to think Golden State is, because, you know, people forget they blew a 3-1 lead. Finals.
People do forget that.
Yeah, people forget that. So
it's
hopefully
weird
it's
that
them.
They forget that.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened. We all saw it.
Yeah. The greatest NBA finals of all. Okay. But we're coming off probably one of the best NBA finals of all time. A lot of hype for the season. I think everyone's expecting a rematch in the finals, right? But, any teams you think might throw a wrench in those plans?
I mean, I mentioned them up top. I want the Clippers to make it. If for no other reason than Chris Paul. I don't know if you know this or not. Chris Paul was my neighbor. I grew up literally down the street from Chris Paul. We have bowled together. We have been in the same bowling alley on the same lane together.
Look out.
Sure. So like
Was he a good bowler?
He is the second best bowler I've ever bowled with.
Who's the best?
ACC expert Cameron Kleinard is a 205 average bowler.
Carolina Cam or California Cam, if you have an autocorrect when you're putting a preview up for the episode.
Sure.
Yeah.
He is the best bowler I've ever bowled with. Chris Paul's not better than him.
Breaking news. But okay, do you really like the Clippers to really do anything? Because I've never really been sold
will.
On the Clippers.
Like, I don't trust them because, like, why would you? Like, they're a team that's built with, like, a flimsy bench. Their wing is always kind of shitty, and they're now and they're in they're in the same division with the fucking Warriors.
Yeah,
I mean, if they were the Roanoke Clippers, oh man, I'd give them a real shot. Cause they could, I would at least believe they could make the finals, and then shit, you don't know what'll happen. Maybe the Warriors will blow a 3-1 lead and you'll win.
Yeah. I think I've never loved the Clippers. I don't love Doc Rivers as a coach. I know he won a title. Yeah. I think a lot of coaches win a title with that team.
Especially a lot of coaches that have Tom Thibodeau as their top assistant.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Thibodeau, at least, like, that's almost like a, it's not a full-on Gus Malzahn, Chizik thing, but it's close enough, isn't it?
Yeah, and I've never been a big fan of Rivers. Like you said, I don't like the structure of the Clippers.
He's a terrible GM.
Yeah. And the Clippers, 7 seed?
They'll do better than that.
Well, I think there's like another little team seed in the West, though. We got a new team in the West, though. And that's Minnesota, who looks to be a team that probably makes the playoffs this year.
I'm going to wait and see on them. Yeah. I mean, I don't doubt they'll make the playoffs, but I feel like people are rushing a little bit on them. Because they're the new boys. When you're the new team that's kind of good, I think everybody wants to get on the bandwagon first, and I think maybe pushes you a little before you're ready.
But I've got two teams that could potentially throw a wrench. Actually, I have three. Three teams I think could throw a wrench in the ESPN and ABC and the NBA's plan to have the rematch. Game, you know, third series of Cavs-Warriors. Portland, maybe. They kind of pushed Golden. I know Curry was hurt, but they played well with Golden State. Curry does get hurt a decent amount.
Sure.
I think maybe if they got lucky, could pull that one. I think like, Oklahoma City.
It's not enough. It's not enough for Curry to get hurt now because they also have KD.
Yeah. But that's a team I could see, and maybe if they make the right move at the the trade deadline, maybe push them if they're gonna have to get lucky in a game. I think Oklahoma City. It's a team out for revenge.
No.
And how poetic would it be?
But I mean, it'd be poetic, but like, this isn't fucking Homer here. Like,
but sports can be poetic at times.
Yeah, but not when like Russell Westbrook is your only good player and Billy Donovan's your head coach.
Well, that's not fair. It's a good solid team.
Name their second best player.
I mean, Oladipo, I love Cantor, I love Steven Adams. I think playing those two guys in the
none of those guys are good enough to win anything. Yeah. Like that's the definition of a team that makes the playoffs and is excited to make it. And that's it.
Well, I think that team's a 3 seed in the West.
No! No! No!
I don't know who's much better.
The Clippers are much better.
No, the Clippers are old. They're done.
But they're old and good. I'd rather be old and good than middle-aged and mediocre.
I think you're underrating OKC. This might be something for us to watch out for. I like that team.
But the thing is that Russell Westbrook barely respected Kevin Durant enough to get him touches. How is anybody going to get him touches when there's literally no one even remotely as good as him?
Because it's going to be a different team structure now. And maybe Kevin Durant was the problem.
I think we have enough evidence to know who the problem is on that team.
Well, I mean, maybe Westbrook held onto the ball because he didn't like Kevin Durant. Maybe he likes Oladipo a little bit more.
I don't see that being.
I think Westbrook is probably my favorite to win the MVP. At least he's going to have some of the best stats you've ever seen, especially scoring stats. Westbrook's going to have a solid year.
But I think the MVP voters are a lot more savvy than they used to be. Like, I don't think you can win the MVP just by jacking shots and getting a lot of points.
No, but if that team's a 4 or 3 seed, I mean, you gotta consider them for MVP.
I think the MVP voters are pretty savvy though. I don't think they'd go for that.
We'll see. But my other team that could throw a wrench in the plans, over in the East, the Pacers. Kinda retooled, rebuilt around Paul George, who's back healthy. You add Jeff Teague. You have an old, but still Al Jefferson in the post is your third or fourth option, which is
Al Jefferson.
Yeah.
I do love Al Jefferson.
And I kind of like that Pacers team, probably not to beat the Cavs, but if anyone's going to push them in the East, it's probably Indiana.
I like Al Jefferson, and I think he proved in Charlotte that he doesn't have to necessarily be a defensive liability. Like, he can play good enough.
Yeah.
To justify being on the court. And he's like one of the only big men in the NBA who's like legitimately an offensive weapon. Or at least he is when he's healthy. So I think if you're gonna have a big man, I think he's good. He's a good choice. So I do like that addition, but I don't know, man.
Added Jeff Teague, who's like has a chip on his shoulder from his time in Atlanta. Probably something to prove in his hometown. Paul George is very talented. I mean, he's a top, if he's healthy and is at his best, he's probably a top five player in the NBA.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that's a team, if they get it right and the chemistry works, they can maybe push Cleveland. I like Cleveland, Indiana in my Eastern Conference finals.
We can't let the fact that Cleveland won cause us to totally forget how weirdly dysfunctional that team is at times.
Yeah.
Like, that team is not perfect. That team, no. Like, they won a title and flags fly forever. So they'll always be an NBA championship team. But they do give me a bit of like Dallas Mavericks vibes, like that year they won, where it's like, okay, This all fit together for a few months absolutely perfectly, and they got one guy playing absolutely as well as anybody can play to help carry them there. I don't know if that's something you can do multiple times. And the Mavericks haven't been back at that level since.
But, you know, you mentioned the Mavericks, and, you know, they beat the Heat, famously. And the Heat were kind of similar at first. I think especially those first 2 years, it felt like kind of put together and, you know, like a train wreck waiting to happen. But it kind of worked.
Sure. For as long as they did. They won two titles.
Yeah.
I mean.
So, I mean, I think it's going to be a fun year in the NBA.
Do you think
we're probably going to get a rematch?
Do you expect Golden State to kind of, I mean, I don't know what their version of struggle is, but sort of struggle, I guess? I don't know how the best way to phrase, but have
I think
like
the
a,
best way, yeah, they're not like going to be firing at full force, yeah. They're going to have some chemistry issues.
I expect them for like at least a month to be kind of screwy.
Yeah, I think they're going to have chemistry problems, but I think once the playoff hits, when they can run that small lineup where you're moving Durant to four, Green at five, they're going to look really deadly at times. But everybody's going to have to figure out their role. So, I mean, we're going to see how Kevin Durant meshes with these guys. That's something
Durant,
to look out
Durant's
for.
Durant's getting what he's always demanded, and we'll see if he can actually handle getting what he wants.
Yeah, and I think Durant's got a lot to prove. So, I mean, last year it felt like LeBron kind of had the chip on his shoulder still. I feel like this year, kind of Durant does. Kind of way different situation.
That whole team, though, has a major chip on their shoulder.
Yeah.
Because, like, they blew a 3-1 lead, even if people don't remember it.
Yeah, people forget that. But I probably a rematch. Most finals, and I hope so. And I hope it goes 7 games again. Who's going to win? I don't know. You know who wins this year in the NBA?
The fans.
The fans, Dan. Because this is probably going to be one of the funnest years for basketball. And it's only going to get better from here. It is the opposite of the NFL right now.
I mean, at some point though, I mean, it's going to be so fun this year that when that guy in your office you work in an office, right? That guy your office who goes, but don't you know college basketball's so much better because they play defense? When that guy says that, you will be legally allowed to chop his head off with a katana.
Yeah. Cause we'll be talking about college basketball on here, but it's, got a problem like the NFL does. It's pretty boring. So
it's worse. And that's saying
you know it wasn't boring, Dan? Last Saturday.
Yeah.
Last Saturday.
Especially certain fourth quarters.
Yeah. And let's kick it off with I think the biggest story from the weekend. Auburn's back.
Auburn, baby. Gutsy.
We're back. As a fan, I did not see this game coming. You heard me last week on this show. Yeah. I picked Arkansas catching 10. I thought it was going to be a really close game.
I was ready to pick Arkansas, and then I heard you slamming your beloved team so much, I went, you know what? He's crazy. I'm with Gussie. Me and Gussie against all you haters.
Yeah, and I mean, Auburn went back to what works best in a Gus Malzahn offense, and that's running the ball.
Mm.
Isn't that weird to say, but it's where he's kind of had the most success. But he wasn't calling plays either,
Those Tulsa teams were really good at throwing the ball. But yeah, at Auburn, his best teams have been run teams.
And And, you know, and Gus isn't calling the plays anymore, but I'm sure he has a heavy hand in putting together the game plan.
Well, and it's his protege.
Yeah.
But they've been, I mean, he was, I think he was a former, I think he was formerly a quarterback for Gussie in high school.
Yeah. They've been working together since, middle school. Rhett Lachey.
Wow. That's a long time to be professionally linked with a guy.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm an Auburn fan. I think you got to be excited. Ole Miss this week. We'll get to it later in the pick'em. We'll see. That'll be the last big test for Auburn before Alabama. That's gonna
I'm
be
just
a tough
happy.
One.
I'm just happy to hear you get back on the right side of the Lord.
On the Gus bus. Yeah. I'm back on, and we'll see. My hands ready to stop it, but we'll see.
I don't know, man. The only thing your hand should be doing is reaching to the sky to praise Auburn Jesus.
Cause that was a dominating win. And like it's, and I think that Auburn defense is a really solid defense and they really, dominated Arkansas.
This is the best defense.
Bad team.
This is the best defense Gussie's ever had.
Mm-hmm. Probably the best since the national championship year.
I think this defense is more dominant. Mm-hmm. I think it is a defense that's better. That defense was good if Auburn got a lead because they were good at rushing the passer. This defense seems better at dominating the trenches than that one was.
Yeah, a solid defensive line, but
You could move the ball on that national champion Auburn team though.
Yeah. Speaking of championships in a way, we forgot to talk about this game last week, but the civil conflict ended in controversy. UConn. University of Central Florida, natural rivals. Knights, Huskies, they hate each other.
Sure.
UConn lost the game, and UCF left the trophy that UConn invented on the field.
Did you read the full account of what happened?
No, I didn't. I should have found the video.
So they walked off the field, and then what happened is eventually Connecticut equipment guy noticed that the thing was laying on the ground and he went and picked it up, stuck it on the UConn bench and threw a towel over it so people couldn't see it.
That's
like that,
sad.
That's the saddest. Like that is a vicious thing to do to another team.
That's like the equivalent of like turning down someone's friendship bracelet. I feel like.
It really is.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, it's just fuck you. That's what that is. Like, How dare you think we give a shit about you? How dare you?
So I think civil conflict gonna be uncivil next year. If I'm a UConn player, I'm cheap shotting.
The one thing that I don't think we're able to express because this is an audio format is that conflict is spelled with a capital FL and a capital CT, as in Florida and Connecticut. And that is the dumbest thing.
It's probably my second favorite rivalry in football. Right behind course,
Army Navy.
Georgia State, Georgia Southern.
Oh! They play, not this week, they play next week, right?
Or my second favorite rivalry, the Thursday night game, Tennessee-Jacksonville.
Which already happened.
Yes. So, and it was a doozy, and we'll talk about it on the roundup. And that was it for this week, right? Like, no team that I've been kind of hyping up.
No, none of those teams that you've been like blindly hyping and disrespecting their biggest rival who's clearly better. Yeah, none of them like shit the bed.
No. So you're right. So the school that covered up child rape won that you're rooting for to beat Ohio State.
I am not rooting for that university. I'm rooting for James Franklin.
Okay.
Well. I'm rooting for James Franklin to do well enough that he can ditch that place. And then just leave with two middle fingers in the air.
Should Franklin go to like the Catholic Church next and like turn them around? Because he seems pretty good at coming in after child rape scandals.
Hey, Francis has already got that down. They don't need him no more.
All right, but Ohio State loses to Penn State in dramatic fashion. I think this loss builds grit and character for Ohio State.
Yeah, everybody keeps wanting to say that, but it just looks like. It's what I said. Maybe because I was so right. I'm, and I'm being an ass right now. But, I mean, this is what they are. They're a team that can't throw the ball. They're wide receivers. Everyone's trying to dump all the blame on the wide receivers. I don't think that's totally fair because JT Barrett can't throw more than 5 yards downfield.
Okay, but not only that, I thought in big situations, like especially at the end, that offensive line looked pretty bad for Ohio State.
Yeah, their line can't pass protect.
Yeah.
They can't pass protect at all.
I still like Ohio State to be Michigan.
They're not because they can't, I mean, they have bad wide receivers and Michigan has a load of great DBs and.
But Michigan, no adversity. So, I mean, I gotta see Michigan overcome something.
You know, or at least lose, I mean, I understand character. That, but when you beat teams like 78 to nothing and 41 to 8, sometimes that just means you're good.
Well, but sometimes it means you don't know what it's like to get punched in the mouth. And when you do, you go down.
They beat that Penn State team by like 40 that Ohio State just lost to.
Well, it was a little bit different. So.
Like, it's the closer we get to that game, the more that just looks like a terrible matchup this year for Ohio State.
Yeah, because we just watched
Penn State's defensive line turn Ohio State's pass blocking into a mess. And Michigan's defensive line is the best in the country.
Maybe that means you bring up a kid, take the red shirt off a lineman, and we have a new superstar born on the line for Ohio State.
JT Barrett is going to get picked off at least 3 times against Michigan. Like, that game's going to end up not even being close.
I think Ohio State.
JT Barrett's bad. JT Barrett is a bad quarterback. I said this at the beginning of the year. I said it at every point. He's not good at football. He can run a little bit. He's not the best running quarterback I've ever seen either, though. If you stack the box and force him to throw, he can't. And all Michigan's right, but going to be able to do that. And, you know, the other thing is that Ohio State's pretty basic. Their defense is basic. Their offense is simplistic. If you take away the stuff they're good at, they don't have anything else. And they just get by on having a lot of talent.
That's a fair argument. If you take away the thing that they're good at, they're no good.
They don't have like that second, they don't have that change up. They're like a pitcher with a great fastball. They don't have an off speed pitch at all. And their defense doesn't do anything to confuse you. So if you just have, equal or close to good talent, or you just out scheme them, they don't know what to do.
Right. But, speaking of teams, you were totally off on Alabama.
Yeah.
Kind of dominates A&M. And A&M looked like a solid team up until now.
You know what? They did dominate them and they did beat them by a bunch of points, but that was one of those games where the final score does not tell the full story because Texas A&M was right there with them. And then by God, Alabama got another defensive touchdown and you just felt like Texas A&M, it's like they got knocked down and they're like a boxer who took a really bad shot and they were able to get back to their feet, but they weren't the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think that's what Alabama does, though, because they do have playmakers on defense. Like we have discussed, turnovers are lucky. But you do want guys who, when they catch the ball, can go to the house.
Right.
Or put themselves in a position to catch the ball if it is a bad pass or a tip pass. So,
it doesn't seem fair for the rest of college football to be playing an Alabama team that's this deep, that's this talented, and is getting a bit of luck. Like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
It's not.
I think we'll see what happens if that luck runs out when they run into the luckiest team in Alabama. That's Auburn. So.
And you know, they did lose a key player on their secondary to an injury. And I know everybody goes, Alabama's third stringer could start for, you know, Tennessee or whatever.
Yeah.
But you start losing like key players who act like those kind of leaders who are basically a coach on the field, when you lose guys like that, you lose too many of them, you know.
No, and I think that hurts. And when you're bringing guys up, that means you're kind of making holes on special teams, which can be pretty important.
Sure. Yeah. And that means the guys who step into those special team spots don't have experience. Maybe they become more turnover prone. You never know.
Yeah. So you still know what might happen. So, and they're, you know, maybe they miss an assignment on a kickoff, and then you got one to the house, so that can change the momentum of a game. So good.
I still want to see how Alabama responds, and maybe no team will ever put them in this position, but I want to see how Alabama responds if the lucky breaks don't go their way at the top of a game and they get down by like 10 or 17 points. If that happens to that team and they're like, all right, we got to come back, I want to see how they handle that.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I mean, you know, we still have Bama LSU and then Bama Auburn. So, like, they're going to have two tests.
Yeah.
I think we learned more about Auburn this week to see if that really is going to be a test for it. But I think it's always a test for Alabama because it's the biggest game of the year.
Right. I mean, the Iron Bowl, even when Auburn isn't up to snuff, it's still, you never know. It's the Iron Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, well, even last year, weirder things can happen.
Well, even last year, Auburn was in the game until the very end, so just never know what could happen in that game.
You throw out those record books.
Yeah. Much like the civil conflict. You just throw out the
record books. Sure. And you know what? It's about time the South won a fight against those damn Yankees.
Right.
Although, do we count Florida? Do we count Orlando?
No, I don't count Florida as a southern state. The South ends in Georgia.
Well, bits of Florida do.
Yeah, okay. Like Jacksonville up. So Georgia really extends to Jacksonville. You stop at Jacksonville, that's the South. I think that's fair.
Because Panama City Beach feels South too.
Panama City Beach is basically like a classy, trashy Alabama beach. Like if you classed up Gulf Shores.
and if like Myrtle Beach got a few less creepy old dudes.
Yeah, if Panama City Beach took all that money from meth and like redesigned the city, that's what you get.
Myrtle Beach feels sad though now, doesn't it?
Oh, it's so, I went like a couple of years ago. It was pathetic.
It's really like very old.
Yeah, and
like,
gross.
It's nothing but old dudes.
Yeah.
And old bikers. Really gross.
Yeah. Speaking of things that feel old and irrelevant though, the Heisman. Have you heard anybody mention the Heisman Trophy this year?
I feel like last year they screwed up the Heisman voting so bad that everybody's just in disgust this year. It's like, at a protest, we're not even going to talk about it.
Yeah. Cause we were talking before the show, we weren't even sure who won the Heisman last year. That's how pathetic that award has gotten. Cause
that's a sign that you really picked the wrong guy when everybody can't remember him the next year.
Cause I can still tell you Ron Dayne was a Heisman winner.
Sure.
From my childhood. Yeah. So there were memorable Heisman winners, like, but it felt like there really hasn't been one this decade since what? I guess like Newton and Manziel.
Manziel was the last real big one.
Yeah.
But
why is that though? Why do we not, is it because they made bad picks for who should win it? Or is it just college football's kind of changed?
I think a lot of it is that college football fans in general getting more savvy. And I think the voters of the Heisman have remained the same. Cause it's like the same group of old white sports writers. Where meanwhile, the average fan has gotten a lot more intelligent and is like, you know, the quarterback on the team with the best record usually isn't really all that good.
Yeah.
The running back who plays for the best, I think people have finally figured out that the guy on the best team is usually not the best player.
No, well, I mean, even 10 years ago, you're maybe getting, you know, 4 or 5 games you're going to see during the day. But now with streaming, you can kind of watch a lot of college football.
Yeah, you can see all these good players.
You do see more players, yeah.
Lamar Jackson would never have a chance to be the Heisman 15 years ago. Because Louisville games would be on, you know, Saturday night on ESPN Ocho, and you'd never see them. Yeah.
But now they're prime time, even if it's on Thursday. You do kind of see some of these players that you wouldn't see otherwise.
Right.
I think he didn't win a Heisman, but I think the first kind of example of that would be like a Pat White at West Virginia.
Hmm.
Like a guy you noticed as a pretty good player that, you know, didn't get a lot of consideration for Heisman.
I mean, I would think the first time I think everybody knew that the Heisman was kind of bullshit, at least in my lifetime, was when Eric Crouch won it.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, really? Eric Crouch? Because by the time Eric Crouch won it, Nebraska had like 7 quarterbacks who would run for like 100 yards a game. So it was like, we've seen them just sort of like plug guys in. Like, this isn't that big a deal.
I mean, especially when you had some of those skill guys at Miami who, you know, went on to destroy.
Yeah, Gino Toretta. That was another one that everybody made fun of because it was like, he was a quarterback for Miami and he won a Heisman and it's like, I'm pretty sure my grandma could quarterback Miami. Like just that you have 4 guys who are wide open every play. Like this isn't that hard.
It just feels like all of those college football awards are less important, but it kind of feels like a lot of awards in football in general are just kind of not important. Even NFL MVP.
Yeah. But I also feel like one of the big ones was when the year that Ndamukong Suh didn't win it.
Yeah.
And it was like, he was so obviously the best player in college football that year. And yeah, he's a defensive tackle.
Like Brady Quinn? Something dumb.
God, it was someone really stupid.
Yeah.
But like, it was just another skill. It was like, it's basically like, just call it the quarterback award. Cause that's all, it's quarterbacks and running backs, and that's the only people who are ever allowed to win.
Running backs from Alabama.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously, Charles Woodson, I think, was the last guy who wasn't a quarterback or a running back to win the Heisman. And he deserved it. And, you know, he won it over Peyton Manning. I remember that was a big year where it was like, it really felt like the Heisman was a big deal. Cause there was legitimately three people that year.
And even think some of those great receivers that kind of came out in, you know, the latter part of the aughts and early part of this decade, like Calvin Johnson was never considered for the Heisman or AJ Green or Julio Jones or any of these like playmaking wide receivers and colleagues who were the best player on the field at times.
I just think the average fan has sort of cottoned on to the fact that a lot of times the actual best player in college football at any given time is the guy who plays on a team that only wins 8 games, but he's literally the whole team.
Well, no, like, I think we've talked about this before with, you know, NFL quarterbacks. Usually the better NFL quarterbacks didn't play for a big-time program.
Right. Like,
whether it's Big Ben in Miami or Byron Left, you know, back in the day, Byron Leftwich at Marshall or...
Or Russell Wilson, you know, at NC State in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You know, that was the big one where it's like, you're going to tell me that, like, Brady Quinn is better than Russell Wilson just because he plays for Notre Dame. Like, that's so stupid. Because Russell Wilson, I went to college when Russell Wilson was at NC State. And it was like, man, he doesn't have a wide out, he doesn't have a running back, and he doesn't have an offensive line. Yet they're winning 8 games this year. Like, that's all him. He is the entire offense. Those are the guys who are usually the guys who go on to be somebody.
Yeah, and I think that's the best example. I mean, I can't think of a quarterback. I think the last one was probably Carson Palmer, a quarterback from a major program who's had some success.
And even then, he was at USC when USC was like right before it got good again.
Yeah.
So like he got like Pete Carroll showed up, I think, when he was a junior. So it's like he had a bunch of years of carrying some not so great those USC teams he was on maybe weren't as good as the ones that followed.
Yeah. Oh, but you know, back to the Heisman discussion, how many USC quarterbacks have won the Heisman that we can't even remember? We just know they're like 6'5" and white.
Sanchez and Leinart probably did more to hurt the Heisman in recent memory.
Yeah.
Cause they just looked like a Heisman, right? And by that I mean white.
Yeah. Yes. So I think it's kind of a problem with the award, but they still have to hand it out this year. And is it Lamar Jackson?
Jesus. I just realized who won it in Ndamukong Suh's year.
Who was it?
Mark Ingram. Literally just an Alabama running back.
But the one Alabama running back who has had some success in the NFL.
Some. He's a spell back. Like, he's not... Like,
no, he's still starting in New Orleans.
Kinda.
He's a nice fantasy pickup.
He's starting on a team that runs the ball 5 times a game.
Oh, sorry about that. Little technical issue here, people.
Sure.
All right.
It happened.
We'll cut that out. But who do we like to win the Heisman this year? Is it Jackson for sure?
It seems like it's Jackson's to win, especially since we already know, like, Johnny Manziel, like, broke the ice for sophomores winning. So, since Manziel's already done it, it feels like Lamar Jackson winning it wouldn't be the big revolutionary thing. And my God, he's having the best year. Like, who else would you, like, Jabril Peppers, I do give a chance because he plays at a huge school. And because if you're at a school like Michigan or Notre Dame or USC or something like that, you're going to get a better shot at winning something than if you're at, Clemson. And it's just a reality. More national media are going to be paying attention to a Michigan guy than a lot of other schools. And Jim Harbaugh is almost like trying to engineer a Heisman Trophy for the guy because they have him playing like 5 or 10 snaps a game and on offense. He's returning all the kicks. They do all kinds of like weird gimmicks to get him the ball so he can score some touchdowns. And I believe he was leading all tacklers in tackles for loss. So he's like this, he is this legitimate defensive weapon. He's probably the best safety to come through since Troy Polamalu. He will legitimately be an NFL All-Pro.
Ooh, okay. So better than Eric Berry?
Yeah, he's better than Eric Berry.
Oh. Hmm.
That's crazy to say, I know, but I think he will be a devastating weapon. I think in the NFL, Jabril Peppers is going to be a guy who gets his jersey retired. Like, he's going to be that.
And then Alabama running back A, we have to say, is probably going to come in third.
Sure.
Right?
He's going
to
get it. I really think he's got a great shot.
I do like the quarterback from Bama. Not this year, but he was probably going to win a Heisman.
Okay, he's going to win one eventually.
Yeah.
He'll at least be a finalist by the time he graduates.
Yeah. So, but
it seems like those are the only two guys I really give much of a shot to, because I don't see any of the quarterbacks beating out Lamar, because none of them are having a year half as good as him. I think the only way Lamar loses is if it's to Jabril Peppers, because that's so weird that people might go, hey, we got to celebrate this.
Yeah, and because there's like no one, like, even when I'm looking at like some of these surprise schools like Washington or even West Virginia, there's not like one player who sticks out as the reason why this team is, that's not really supposed to be, is undefeated.
Right.
So something to look out for. But I mentioned West Virginia. Is the playoff picture, do you feel like it's going to be a little bit different than how we thought it was going to be, like, even 2 weeks ago?
I still think Alabama and Michigan are in the play, are like, I still have them penciled in. Beyond that, though, I'm less confident. I'm less confident because Washington State might beat Washington. I mean, I'm feeling more and more like Washington State might be able to do it.
And I hate to do this to Wes, but it feels like Washington State upsets an undefeated Washington on Thanksgiving week.
Yeah. And just the way Stanford seems to be cratering, it's like, the more we go down the season, it's more those big wins Washington had are looking less impressive. Because the teams they blew out are every week have worse and worse results.
And meanwhile, Washington State
keeps winning.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the game this weekend's pretty important for Washington. Utah's a solid little team.
Yeah. Washington at least doesn't get blown out easy. Yeah. They fight.
But do we like West Virginia to go undefeated? Are they a
playoff
team
like
if they do?
But don't they feel like the most pretendery pretender?
But are we saying that because we didn't see it coming?
But don't they feel like the kind of team who, I don't know, loses to Iowa State 1 week?
I haven't watched a single snap of West Virginia football.
I know.
I'll rectify that.
Here's one of the interesting things, though, about West Virginia. They have easily the best defense in the Big 12. And I have a theory, and I want to see it play out before I really go whole hog on it. But I think West Virginia has a secret advantage over the rest of the Big 12 because they have access to East Coast players where they actually play defense in high school.
Hmm.
And so, like, they can go to Pennsylvania and they can go recruit in Florida where, like, they actually learn how to tackle. Whereas in Big 12 country, in Texas and Oklahoma, you know, in all those Texas high schools, all they do is play 7-on-7 and they just, like, do air raid all high school long and nobody ever tackles and everybody plays wide receiver. And they all get to college and then you have to teach them, like, you know, what your hands are for other than catching.
So,
and
what you're
telling
me is,
maybe West Virginia has the advantage that they're able to recruit local kids who, like, you know, who have played man football before.
So what we're kind of saying here is this ain't your daddy's West Virginia team.
It might be your dad's. It's not your older brother's West Virginia.
Oh, how about but, like, that? That's your team itself, West Virginia.
If you go back to like the 80s, those really good 80s West Virginia teams and those 90s, those Don Nealon teams, those West Virginia teams were like nothing but like big physical, slow, wet, like tough boys. And then they go and recruit like a really fast quarterback and their offense would be, hey, go run around in circles. We don't really have play. Like it was almost like Virginia Tech with Michael Vick, only not as good players.
All right, so let's say we get to the end of the year. Let's say Bama and Michigan undefeated. Clemson's got one loss. Washington State, one loss. West Virginia, one loss. Who's out?
Washington State's undefeated. Washington State's immediately out because they lost to an FCS team.
No, Washington, sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
And let's say West Virginia's undefeated.
Okay, so who's all got one loss?
Washington, Clemson, and let's say West Virginia runs the table.
Washington's the team out. Because the Pac-12, the Pac-12 has not distinguished itself.
But
Who's Clemson's one loss to?
They choke versus, they lose the ACC title.
Ooh, then they're out.
Yeah, they'd be out, yeah. Well, let's say
Everybody else has a conference title, then yeah. The conference
Let's say they lose to South Carolina on like a blocked punt. Something silly. South Carolina like
so
wins.
So it's really fluky. It's a fluky loss.
Even though that's a bad team. Yeah. Yeah. But it's a rivalry,
It's a rivalry. Okay, so I think Clemson's in because Clemson will have beaten Florida State. They will have beaten Louisville. They would have beaten either Virginia Tech or Carolina in the ACC championship. Those are better wins than anybody. I mean, Washington's beaten some teams by a lot of points, but who have they beaten? Like, any of those teams any good? I don't know.
Not really. But is the Pac-12 that much worse than the Big 12?
No, but if
or are we just kind of being biased because like,
that's a good,
it's out
well,
west,
you said West Virginia went undefeated. If West Virginia goes undefeated, I mean, if you go undefeated, you're in.
Do you? Guess.
It doesn't matter. If you're undefeated, you get in. If you're undefeated from a Power 5 conference or if you're Notre Dame, you get in. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter by who you beat. It doesn't matter if everybody you played was blind. It don't matter.
What? Okay, let's do another funny scenario. What if Ohio State beats Michigan and then there can't be another loss for Michigan in that scenario? All right, then I can't do that one. What if somehow the Ohio State and Michigan one loss? Who do we like?
Well, who won the game against? Who'd they win? Who won the head-to-head?
Well, Ohio State would have in this situation.
Ohio State.
So we have one loss. Yeah.
Here we go. Yeah, okay. Ohio State goes ahead of them because they. I mean, the head-to-head is gonna. I mean, they're not. It's not stat guys. It's a bunch of like old football dudes. They're not gonna overcomplicate things.
And Condi Rice.
And Condi Rice.
A football lady.
Yeah, she's a stat girl.
Yeah.
She loves her stats.
Speaking of Condi Rice, who famously wanted to be the NFL commissioner at one point, let's go to the NFL roundup.
She couldn't be worse.
Couldn't be worse.
You know what? She could not be worse.
But let's go to the NFL roundup with me and West Coast Wes.
I love it.
And welcome to the NFL roundup. I'm Zachary T. Gilbert. This is West Coast Wes. And welcome to the Power Hour. Halfguarded.com, NFL Roundup, Situation Zone Room.
Happy Halloween, boys and ghouls. The horror of the NFL is upon us yet again, and this week we have no treats, only tricks, and plenty of terror for all of you to hopefully get through this season.
The NFL this week, not a lot of treats on Sunday.
No treats whatsoever, I would say, unless you're the kind who enjoys a little bit of punishment and slugging it out through horrible game after horrible game. Once again, we keep beating on this point, but it's the truth. The NFL is terrible right now, and as a result, you have to sit through games where sometimes touchdowns aren't scored at all, and we end with ties.
Yeah, and let's start off with that Sunday night game. Your Seahawks battled Arizona, and what could be a defensive battle? Offensive struggle? What was it?
Well, Chris Collinsworth tried to sell it as an epic clash of defensive titans, a la something out of the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Minnesota Vikings from the 70s or something along those lines. But that just simply wasn't the case. It was a horrible game. Now, granted, both defenses are good, and Seattle in particular, I thought it was quite the effort given that they were on the field for something like 46 minutes and a guy like Kelce McCray played 108 snaps in that game. But don't get it twisted. That was a horrible game. It was tough for me to sit through, so much so that I found myself vacuuming at times. I was cleaning out the bathrooms and things of that nature. And it only got entertaining at the end, in my opinion, And that's when everyone really started getting on board with the potential for a tie. And sure enough, we have ourselves a tie, the first one in, what, 6 or 7 years?
And, it feels, yeah. Has it been 6 or 7? I thought it was like 4. I can't remember. But,
either way.
The end of that game, though, I was rooting hard for the tie. And when Seattle kicked the field goal to tie the game in overtime, ooh, I know we had something special then.
We did have something special. I was rooting actually for a loss in OT. That's how bad I felt about that game. I mean, call me a fake fan. That's not the case. I was just simply out of energy at that point. I wanted it to be over with before Russell Wilson got decapitated, given the lack of an offensive line. But once you got into overtime, it was a completely different story. And sure enough, the tie looked likely, and then it looked like the Seahawks were going to pull it off until one of the all-time choke job kicks. I mean, that's all that was right there. That was a guy stepping up, feeling the pressure, and kicking a ball wide left by a sizable margin, a fitting way to end the game.
One of my favorite endings to a football game ever, I think just because of the reaction on Pete Carroll's face, it's pretty great.
It was a great reaction, and I think Pete Carroll, it was like, well, you know, we didn't deserve to win that game necessarily. Probably shouldn't have been in it at all. Then we had a chance to win, but we didn't lose. So, hey, let's move on to the next weekend and be glad that we got out of there without the loss. I think it was actually much worse for Arizona, and Bruce Arians nearly had a heart attack on several occasions over there. So it's tougher for them to swallow.
Yeah, but there are also some other things that happened this weekend. Like our boy Landry Jones, pretty solid effort.
Well, let's talk about Landry Jones, because we hyped him up big time last week, and that was not the worst performance that you're going to get out of a guy thrust into a situation like this. It's a matter of time before Landry Jones gets it going and gets on the same page with a guy like Antonio Brown. The question is he going to get that time, or will Big Ben enter the picture once again?
Yeah, and I think Steelers got a bye week. We'll probably know more, you know, this time next week. What's going to really happen with Pittsburgh? But I mean, if Landry Jones stays your quarterback, he gets that rhythm and time and gets the reps with the first team. This is still a playoff team, especially in a pretty bad NFC North or AFC North, excuse me.
Yeah, no question about it. It's look, they hung with the Patriots regardless. It's not going to get much worse for Landry Jones, I don't think. Obviously we're big fans, so we may be a little bit biased, but you got to figure that as games mount up, he'll get that confidence flowing. And don't forget, if something happens to him, Zach Mettenberger is still right behind him, and you're not going to lose a step with Big Zach back there.
Oh, no. Anytime you can get Mettenberger into the game, you know it's going to be fun to watch.
There's a common thing. It's a good point, but there's a common theme amongst these Steelers QBs, Big Ben and Zach Mettenberger, is more off the field related, but I suppose we can get into that on a different type of show.
Yeah, the Steelers love guys who don't listen to the word no.
They take charge.
That's the way I look at it. Well, can't tell these quarterbacks no.
That's what a winner does. That's what a winner does. Zach, they don't take no for an answer. They go and they impose their will, and you just would like it to be on the football field as opposed to a bar.
A college bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, some other interesting notes this week. Minnesota, first loss against Philadelphia, a team that I think a lot of people thought was kind of on the downtrend. So is Philadelphia back?
I'm still hesitant to say that. I think that they played a good game at home against the Minnesota team where that was the bad Sam Bradford, as far as I can tell. That's the one who's losing the ball left and right. I mean, that game had 3 or 4 turnovers in the first quarter within like the first 6 or 8 minutes, it seemed like. And as a result, the Eagles were able to get it going. I still am not necessarily sold on the Eagles. And at the same time, it's a loss for the Vikings, but I can't help but look ahead still at that Vikings schedule and think they're still going to put together a run that gets them home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So I'm going to chalk it up to a one-off kind of weird situation between two good teams that will be in the playoffs, but I'm still taking Minnesota in the end.
Did you happen to see what Mike Zimmer did after the game to his team?
No, I heard about this. Bloodthirsty massacre simulation or something like that.
Yes, he just yelled at the offensive line and told them it was their fault that they lost, which he's right. The O-line played horrible. Kind of go back and look at some highlights and some film. And the Minnesota O-line has some injuries, obviously, but kind of would be my big point of concern for that team, because Bradford's not a really quick quarterback, not like a really super mobile in the pocket, not even like a Big Ben where you can kind of extend plays. He kind of needs the offensive line to be near perfect to be super successful.
Yeah, that is a little bit concerning, particularly when you have a defense that is very good, but if they're going to allow 21 points to teams, then it's really going to expose your deficiencies on the other side of the ball. I mean, that's exactly what happens with Seattle. Now, granted, Seattle's defense was pretty much playing at an elite level that particular night, and as a result, only 6 points got put on the board. But as you saw, if you're gonna be a defensive oriented team, you still need some offensive output. And I don't think what Minnesota was limited to 10 points there. They could be in trouble if things fall apart. I still have faith though.
Yeah. I think Minnesota looking forward, probably another loss somewhere, but nothing too bad. I think we're gonna learn a lot about Philadelphia when they play Dallas this Sunday. I think we're gonna kind of see who's the top dog in the NFCs.
So what do you think about Dallas? And you can frame it in the context of this game coming up, or just the general vibe. I mean, are they for real? And will we find out this Sunday night whether or not they are for real? Or do you think, regardless of what happens, Dallas is here to stay, and you're looking at a team that can make a serious run?
I want to see what happens with the Romo thing still. Mm. While that's still in the air, I'm not sure if we can really figure out how Dallas is going to.
Yeah, I think you just have to be crazy if you bring back Tony Romo at this point. But Jerry Jones is there, and that's the definition of crazy in a lot of ways. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him pull Dak from the starting lineup and waste a couple more games on Tony Romo as your starting QB before he inevitably gets hurt one more time.
Yeah, so I think that's the issue there. But I mean, it's not bothering Dak. He's playing lights out. Tons of confidence. I roll with the kid if I'm Dallas. I mean, the NFC, besides Minnesota and, like, you know, some teams in the West, kind of wide open. And if you can get a home field game in the first or in the wild card round, if you're Dallas, I mean, you get lucky in the divisional round, you're in the NFC championship. Not that hard this year.
Yeah, and you make a good point, because if they do get to the playoffs, and if Dak is at the quarterback position, I mean, I don't think the most optimistic Cowboys fan expected that much this year. And so as a result, maybe it becomes a low-pressure situation for the Cowboys in the playoffs, where they have very little to lose because the future is bright, and you think they can get back there again, theoretically, in the next couple of years. So maybe with no pressure, and somebody like Dak at QB, as opposed to a guy like Romo, who seems to have his issues with pressure from time to time, maybe they make the run and get all the way to the big dance, as they say.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you add Dez Bryant back, assuming, but there will be some issues, obviously, but assuming there aren't a ton, I mean, that's a big pickup for the team to go and add a Dez Bryant.
Definitely. One more weapon and a huge one. The guy is arguably amongst the top receivers in the league. Well, I think no question amongst the top receivers in the league when healthy. So maybe this is the year where the Cowboys finally break through. And that would be quite odd, because nobody expected it.
So, looking forward to next week. We do have some games we're going to highlight. Now, unfortunately, this podcast will air after this game plays, but we'd be remiss not to hype up my favorite annual tradition, and I think yours, Wes, the Titans-Jacksonville Thursday night game.
Yes, this is what it's all about for us. It is important that we do highlight and we do profess just how important this game is to us and how much it meant to us. Obviously, you're hearing it after the fact, but I have no doubt that if you were like us and you were on this game from start to finish, It's something that we'll never forget, and we can only, we just have to wait until they do it again. But this one is special on a Thursday night, and it's Mariota and Blake Bortles, who's just playing fantastic football right now. It just doesn't get any better than this. These are the moments you live for.
No, and this is, I'm really excited to see the color rush. Are they going to do like all baby blue on that all piss yellow thing Jacksonville wore last year?
That's what I've been told. Yeah. That's what sources say. That I saw some graphics earlier on, and oh, it's a thing. It's a vision of beauty. That gold, that piss yellow, as you say. I don't even know how you describe it other than ooh la la.
I'm beyond excited for Thursday night. And, you know, you're hearing this Friday, you'll get why we were so excited after that classic 3-2 battle. So.
Yeah, we may have to do some sort of impromptu Thursday night recap, which I don't know. I may not be able to speak after that one, though. It's going to be an arousing affair. It has been an arousing affair, and we've no, certainly
that's,
enjoyed
that's what
ourselves.
I'm super excited for. But next week, apparently, there's another game in London.
Good day! Or, no, wait, that's wrong. But, yes, Washington versus Cincinnati, another fine game. Now, I don't know about the spread in this one. How do you feel about this game? Who would you pick? And are you excited?
I'm checking out the odds now. I'm excited to not wake up and watch this one. Cincinnati's favored by 2.5. I kind of like Washington. I mean, they're playing okay. Better than Cincinnati's been. Feels like. I mean, Cincinnati just beat Cleveland, but so is everybody. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I'm going to go with the Bengals, and I just feel like AJ Green in front of that UK crowd, Andy Dalton. To me, it all makes sense for some reason. Actually, I have nothing to back this up. I'm just going to go with Cincinnati.
Let's go to a game that's near and dear to your heart. Seattle, New Orleans. Seattle favored by 3.
Favored by 3, huh? I hate to be a hater, so to speak, but I'm going to have to go with New Orleans here. Maybe not to win necessarily, but this one I think will be close, and it scares me because if you heard anything about the Seattle defenders after that game on Sunday night, I mean, guys like Richard Sherman apparently didn't even have what it took to get up off his stool and walk to the shower. They were that depleted, and I think you know, traveling out to New Orleans against a team who, hey, they can still play fast from time to time. I'm a little bit worried about this one.
No, and that's a team that's going to be using a lot of different receivers. I mean, they're going to have your guys running around. So that's scary. Yeah. Over-under sitting at 48. I like the over.
I think that's a good number is what that is right there because I have zero confidence in Seattle's ability to score right now. I mean, you saw what happens to Russell Wilson when the mobility isn't there. And if he has no time in the pocket, I mean, things break down very quickly. Now, granted, this New Orleans Saints defense isn't on the level of the Cardinals, but I think I'd take the over as well, but maybe 49, if you know what I'm saying. It's going to be close.
Another interesting game, New England favored by 6.5 versus Buffalo. I'm going to like New England to win by like a few touchdowns, not even a couple, a few.
This seems like one of those games where it's at Buffalo and Buffalo, despite the loss last week, has played decently so far this season. And everyone's thinking, is this the year where Buffalo rises up? I don't think this is the year where Buffalo rises up. They may make it into the playoffs, but this is New England's thing to lose. So, yeah, I agree with you. 2 touchdowns, at least, for New England to win this one.
All right. We got an interesting little matchup here. San Diego-Denver, the rematch, just 2 weeks later. San Diego catching 5 in this game. So Denver favored by 5? I don't mind taking San Diego here, catching the points.
I'm with you on that one, brother. I think San Diego builds off a win last week. I hate to bring that up in current company, but that was a nice come-from-behind win. And I think Phillip Rivers rides that. So I'm going to take San Diego to win that thing outright. And I'll say by a field goal, just like last week. Any thoughts on your Falcons really quickly before we go on?
It just seemed like your classic Falcons game. That's Atlanta sports. I'm just used to that by now with any of my teams. We'll see how they bounce back. And they're good little matchup, I think, because Green Bay's kind of not playing so hot. Green Bay, Atlanta favored by 3. I think Atlanta might win that game. I think we're going to learn a lot about the Falcons this week.
Yeah, this will be a good test because let's face it, Atlanta's had quite the string of games in the past 3 weeks or so, going out west on the road, playing tough teams, beating Denver, losing narrowly to Seattle in a game they probably should have won, and then San Diego is one of those teams where on any given Sunday they can beat anybody in the league. So this might be a nice bounce back for Atlanta because I know neither of us is high on Green Bay, and Atlanta, despite the loss, I still think they're the team to beat in that division and should be fine.
Yeah, I think Atlanta's going to, if they can hold it together, once they get into playing, you know, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and Carolina again, they might be in better shape. So,
yeah, you're right about that. And how amazing is it that we don't even care about Arizona at Carolina?
You know, I was going to bring that up, but yeah, just Doesn't matter. Because Carolina's done.
Carolina's done, and Arizona's got a lot of work to do. And I don't think anybody would come out of Sunday night saying that they look good necessarily. So, yeah, it's amazing how a few months can change the dynamic of things drastically in this league that we love so much.
Yeah. And then on Sunday night, finally a good primetime game besides the game on Thursday. Philadelphia versus Dallas. Dallas favored by 4.5. I like Dallas to win by a touchdown.
I like Dallas too. I think I'm interested to see because as we noted earlier on, Philadelphia is a team where I don't know what to think right now. I think they're decent, but I also don't know if they're for real in terms of a team that can take it to the next level. So going on the road and beating Dallas would certainly be a statement, and they've got a little momentum, but I'm going to go with you as well. I'm taking Dallas by 13 in this one.
Yeah. A lot of agreement this week between us. So,
well, yeah, there's a lot of harmony here.
Yeah. It's beautiful. A little Halloween harmony.
That's right.
All right. And then on Monday night, we get the Bears again. I'm not sure who's starting quarterback for this. Hoyer's still hurt. Is it going to be the kid from USC a few years ago?
I don't even know. I think I saw something about Cutler where it looks like his return is imminent, but I don't know if he's going to make it back. I sure hope so. There's nothing better than primetime Jay Cutler. Well, there is something better than primetime Jay Cutler, and it's the Thursday night game, which we already touched upon. But that being said, I what's the spread in this one?
I'm curious. We got Minnesota favored by 5.5. Taking Minnesota all day. And the over-under sitting at 40, I kind of like that under too. I feel like this could be like a 17-7 game.
Yeah, a little Soldier Field starting to cool down a little bit. Maybe not actually based on what I've seen of the weather across the nation. But regardless, it's also always a hostile environment to some degree. And I think that alone keeps the score low. But yeah, I like Minnesota as well just because I don't like Chicago in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is just a bad team. There are a lot of holes there. Wouldn't be a fun one to fix.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough one to tune into Halloween night. I mean, I don't know if you have any plans, but, I don't know that mine involve Minnesota at Chicago necessarily.
I think mine will, cause I'm not a big Halloween guy.
No.
So as we end up, let's talk about Halloween real quick. I don't like to dress up. Sorry.
Well, no, I haven't done much of that of myself, in quite some time. I mean, it's a holiday that I look back on fondly. As a child, I certainly enjoyed it. And maybe that's the answer. I mean, maybe it's just a matter of going out and trick or treating as a adult, quote unquote, and getting back into action. So I'm with you though. And on a Monday night, I mean, what are you going to do? You have to be back in bed by 9 to get up the next morning and everything. So how about the films? I mean, at least you can sit back and watch some entertaining, horror.
Some fun. I'm just not a Halloween guy, not a big horror guy. Halloween just means it's almost time for Thanksgiving. Like I was a big kid growing up. So you know what? Any holiday where I have to walk, even if I'm getting candy, nah. Give me like Thanksgiving and Christmas where I'm getting like candy and food and I'm just sitting on my ass.
So yeah, you tough out Halloween, you survive that one to get to the holidays where it's all about not moving an inch. I mean, what's your secondary holiday then if Halloween's not the favorite? Because I'm assuming everybody puts Christmas and Thanksgiving near the top, especially in this country. But if you had to pick a secondary one, I mean, are you an Easter guy or a Columbus Day sort of individual? What's up your alley?
I'm going to say Cinco de Mayo. Like the most appropriate. I love any holiday that we can take as white America and reappropriate it to something else. I think that's my favorite.
Well, that's why I love February so much. I mean, we definitely get to take an entire month to honor Black history. So I'm with you there in terms of using something to our advantage.
Side note, I do like MLK Day, but no Hawks game Martin Luther King Day this year. So that was really fun tradition for me that's kind of ruined. So
they took that tradition away?
Yeah. Us in Memphis didn't get one. You know, the two cities MLK probably was most famous for being in. So thanks.
That's unbelievable. NBA. Well, this nation, I'll tell you what, it's obviously headed down the drain. We all know that now, and nothing personifies that more than Memphis and Atlanta getting the shaft on MLK Day. My God.
Disgusting. But all right, Wes, as we get ready, anything like you're particularly looking forward to NFL or sports-wise this coming weekend?
Well,
like maybe a certain team in the Pac-12?
Yeah, I would say to your listeners who obviously are tuned into this show to hear the wonderful Dan Ford and yourself talk college ball, obviously you know Utah hosting the Washington Huskies on FS1, I believe, sometime midday. So check that out. I mean, they say it's the first big test for the Huskies, but that's nonsense. We've been running through everybody, and at this point, I wouldn't expect any different. Now, I fully believe in an undefeated season, and I know you were on that bandwagon early on as well.
No, I'm hopping on, and I'll do my picks later, but I kind of like UW to win here. So I think the big game for me for UW, and we'll talk about this in the coming weeks, that Apple Cup game, looking bigger and bigger by the week.
It certainly is. It could be a special one, and it's in Pullman, so you never know what's going to happen late November in Pullman. Wazoo playing well. It's just a matter of if they can keep their guys healthy for long enough. You might have a zombie out there in terms of the quarterback position because he racks up the concussions and the injuries. But I'm with you. That should be a great game, and I hope it is because it's a good thing for this area, that's for certain.
All right. And then for Wes, I'm Zachary, and back to me and Dan. Back. Wow. Some crazy stuff from West Coast West. And now you learned why I don't like Halloween, Dan. It's because I was a big kid and I didn't like walking to get candy as a kid.
I didn't know that. I learn that just now because I listened to that in real time in the corner. But yeah, as a fellow big kid as a kid, didn't you like getting candy?
Yeah, but I also like Christmas and Thanksgiving where I got candy or pies and
that's
food,
the other thing.
I didn't have to walk.
That is a good point. Like, maybe back in the old Dickety times, like getting candy was some special treat. And maybe in certain households, getting candy is a special treat. As a kid, it's not like I went wanting for candy. Yeah. Like, at no point was I like, oh man, I wish I had candy. It's like, pretty much if I wanted candy, I got candy.
Yeah, like you go over to the grandparents' house, they got candy or ice cream. And you know what, as a kid, I wanted bacon. They handed out bacon on Halloween? I may have been more into it.
True story. My grandfather had a sandwich route. He was a sandwich delivery man. And he also had fried pies in his sandwich truck. And I would just go in there and snatch two or three fried pies, and that was good eating.
What's in a fried pie? Is it just a pie that's been deep fried?
Yeah, these were B&G brand. If you're really going to represent, North Carolina, B&G fried pies. But basically the way it works is you have like pie crust on the outside and then usually fruit, although they did have chocolate. Chocolate fried pies are no good. You want the fruit flavor. And then you deep fry the outside.
There you go. Learn something new every day.
I feel like fried pies would be big in Georgia. Is that just a North Carolina, Tennessee thing?
It's got one of those Yankee State things.
I know it's big in at least East Tennessee, because we used to go to East Tennessee and get fried pies too.
I've been like to the state fair in Georgia. And there was no fried pie stand or anything like that, so.
Wow. My grandma used to make fried pies too.
Yeah. We're more about like boiled peanuts here.
See, now that's disgusting. Like, boiled peanuts literally make my stomach turn.
Oh, I love boiled peanuts.
And that's not just you people doing that. In fact, I associate boiled peanuts more with South Carolina than I do you.
Well, we're the peanut state. People forget that.
I know, people do forget that, but, South Carolina really make a big deal about their fucking boiled peanuts. They're wet food.
Ugh. I like some grits and boiled peanuts. Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody likes grits. You ain't got to make a big thing about liking grits.
Well, some people don't even know what grits are. People forget that.
I don't think I know what they are. I just like them.
Yeah. Speaking of things we like and things sure to go wrong, let's get into NCAA pick'ems.
Oh, God.
You ready, Dan? Let's start with an easy one. New Mexico State going to A&M. New Mexico State catching 44. 43.5. I kind of want to take it.
I hate games like that because it's like New Mexico State is probably the worst program in college football, in FBS football.
Yeah.
Like, who would you say is a worse program?
Wyoming?
See, I'd say New Mexico State's worse because New Mexico State is the number two school in a state with no people. At least Wyoming, like, they don't have to share the state with nobody.
Idaho?
They're it. Idaho, maybe. I mean, obviously, Idaho's dropping down. But, I mean, Idaho won stuff at the FCS level. New Mexico State's never won anything anywhere.
They're not even good at basketball.
And you can be good at basketball anywhere as long as you know how to buy players.
Yeah. So, I mean, they don't even know how to spend money. But, you know what? I like them catching 44. I don't think A&M's good enough to beat anybody by 44.
Maybe I'm wrong. This feels like a game where, like, Texas A&M just drops 50 by halftime.
I know, but maybe it's 58-14.
I don't think New Mexico State scores. I mean, famously, the previous New Mexico State coach quit to go be a position coach for Jacksonville.
So major step up.
Is that not the saddest thing you've ever heard? Like
for Jacksonville,
like a college head coach quit to go be a wide receivers coach.
And one at a D1 school. I mean, they're in the Mountain West, right?
No, that's the other thing. They're independent because they're independent, no conference. Right. Well, no, this year they're in the Sun Belt as football only. Next year they're independent.
There you go.
Because the Sun Belt kicked them and Idaho out. So Idaho decided to drop down to FCS.
All right. Here's a interesting one. Texas Christian, favored by 9 over Texas Tech, who just played Oklahoma really well in what you would some may call an abomination to defensive football.
In some ways they played them well, but like they also gave up 70 points almost.
Yeah.
Like when you lose a game when you score more than 50, like somebody's gotta get fired. I don't know who.
Or cut.
At some point, is Cliff Kingsbury like low key Kirby Smart? Like they felt like they had to hire him because he was such a successful coordinator. And he was a former, you know, he was the first quarterback Mike Leach ever coached. So he's got a lot of emotional, you know, the fans there have a lot of emotional ties to him. But at some point, don't we all admit that this was a bad hire and he's a bad head coach who shouldn't be coaching?
It's just no one cares about, like even in Texas, no one cares about Texas Tech. So it's just, he can probably float around for a while there.
Yeah, I mean, they gave him such a huge contract that they can't really fire him.
Yeah. Because there's no boost. Who's boosting Texas Tech football right now?
All Texas schools have boosters.
Well, obviously, there's not a ton of money.
Even schools that, like, you would not believe have boosters still have boosters because it's Texas, baby. But, like, are any of the boosters going to have the desire to buy out the best quarterback in school history? I don't know about that.
All right. Let's move on to another game. Kansas State, Iowa State. Kansas State favored by 6.5. I really like Iowa State here. If it was 10, I'd love it. But
I feel like that line's a little bit of an overreaction to last week against Texas.
Yeah.
The reality is Texas isn't very good.
Yeah.
And Iowa State is scrappy.
Yeah.
They're well coached and scrappy.
Yeah. I like Iowa State 6.5. I like them to maybe win.
Plus, I just don't know if Kansas State can beat anybody by a lot of points. Like, this doesn't, they just feel like they just want to gum you to death and hold on to the ball for 50 minutes and win by 3 points. And that's just that's the way they want every game to go.
Yeah. So you like Iowa State there?
I'm feeling you there. I'm feeling you. I might follow you.
All right. West Virginia, favored by 3.5. Going to Oklahoma State. Who do we like?
You know what? I'm sticking with West Virginia. I know they may not be very good, but I'm going to trust my East Coast. You know, they got East Coast toughness in this soft ass Big 12 conference. That East Coast toughness, they're going to ride it all the way to the top, baby.
All right. I like West Virginia too. I like them to keep winning. All right. Catholics versus convicts. Miami, Notre Dame. Miami favored by 1.5. Take Miami all day. I know Miami's kind of been falling apart. But Miami is
low-key falling apart, too. Like, they're having their yearly, we lost to Florida State, so we quit.
But Notre Dame's really bad.
But isn't Notre Dame due?
I don't think this year.
Because I don't think they're a 3-9 type team. I mean, a lot of their record is just like they're a mediocre team that has gotten no breaks. They're not a 3-8, 4-8, 3-9 type of team.
Yeah, and Miami is a super young team.
At some point, they've got to get some kind of break.
But Miami, young team, I think younger teams tend to forget losses a lot quicker sometimes than veteran teams. I think Miami can turn it around. I like Miami.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked, but I'm going to go with Notre Dame. I think this is the week they finally do something.
All right. All right. Wisconsin, favored by 8.5 versus Nebraska. I kind of like Nebraska getting 8.5.
Nah, I'm taking Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin's gonna beat him down. This is gonna be a beat.
Yeah,
him
we'll
down.
See. We'll see. Nebraska.
You know what? Lock it up
better
for
than
me.
People think.
This is my Ooh. Lock. Because here's my. I lock it up for me because I just don't think this Nebraska team is any good. I think this is a team that is entirely the product of a really soft schedule, and this is the week they get exposed because this is the week they're finally playing a legit team.
Yeah, I think we'll see. I like Wisconsin as a team, but not two scores.
Wisconsin is a battle tested team. You know, whether they're your perfect team or not, they have played legit competition and they have played them even or won. Like they lost narrowly to Wisconsin or to Ohio State. They lost narrowly to Michigan. They beat LSU. They have played tough teams and come out of it. Nebraska barely beat Purdue last week. Like that, Nebraska is just they have not been tested and their schedule is weak. And you know what? Air horn.
Lock it up. All right, Georgia, Florida. The world don't call it the world's largest cocktail party, but it is. Florida favored by 7. If that line was more, I'd really like Georgia here because that game's weird. Sometimes the favorite doesn't perform as well.
I think that game actually, like some guy actually went through the results and said the underdog has won that game more often than any other major rivalry game.
So you know what? I'm going to hear that stat. I'm like UGA catching 7. I don't think Florida's good. I've been picking against Florida all year. I'm going to be right one of these weeks. This might be
I don't think Florida's all that good either, but I think Georgia is just like straight hot trash. So I'll take Florida.
Yeah. All right. Auburn, Ole Miss. Auburn favored by 4. I'm not touching this one. I don't know.
You know,
I don't know how bad Ole Miss is or how good Auburn is.
Ole Miss's defense is just straight up butt. And so I'm going to throw a second one down. Lock this up too. Auburn's beating the hell out of this Ole Miss team.
All right.
They're just going to beat the Christian out of them.
Here's my lock of the week. Tennessee, favored by 13.5. I expect that to jump up to 14 or 15 by Saturday. Give me South Carolina. Lock it up. Tennessee's not that good. South Carolina's going to bumble their way into something. They're not going to win, but they're not losing by 2 touchdowns.
I got your air horn there.
Yeah, there we go. You stole it.
I'm not.
How do you feel about that one?
I don't trust Tennessee.
I don't trust Tennessee to win by 2 touchdowns.
I don't know.
I do like that under at 50 though.
I'd take the under. You know what? I'm taking the under.
Lock that one up.
I've already used 2. I can't do a third. All right.
Michigan. Favored by 23.5 versus Michigan State. I'm going to jump on your bandwagon. I like Michigan here.
Yeah.
Michigan
you know
State's
what?
Bad.
Fuck that. I'm doing a third one. That's right. 3 locks of the week. Michigan's going to beat the dog piss out of Michigan State. Okay. In some ways, Michigan State has sort of owned Michigan for like the last half decade. And last year was kind of the worst one because Michigan was so much better than them.
Mm-hmm.
But Michigan just sort of farted around, didn't put them away, and then, you know, had the punt where the punter dropped the ball with no time left on the clock. Michigan State ran it back, scored with, you know, clock had struck 0. Michigan State scores. Really one of the most deflating or gut punch victories of all time. Michigan has spent the last 12 months thinking about that game. And this year's Michigan team is significantly better than last year's team. And oh my God, Michigan State's worse. Michigan State is terrible. And Michigan is going to be throwing the ball in the fourth quarter. Like, this is going to be a brutal, vicious beating. They're not going to stop until Michigan State is, like, a pile of bones. And
it's going to be ugly. Our co-main event on Saturday, Clemson-Florida State. Clemson favored by 4.5. I feel like Florida State's going to win this game.
I got that sinking suspicion, too. Like, it's just Clemson has played around with too many people. Yeah.
Flirting with disaster. Florida State's kind of fired up after beating Miami, and that Florida State's still a pretty good team, regardless of how they played against Louisville. Yeah,
Clemson has been the Molly Hatchet team of the year.
Yeah,
so I think this is the week where Clemson gets caught. I do.
All right, and then our main event for the weekend: Washington, Utah. Washington by 10. I like Washington by 10. I think Washington blows them out. I think Washington's
this is
a good team.
This is. If Washington blows out Utah, then I officially believe in them again.
No. I'm sold on Washington.
I think Utah's gonna keep this close though.
I think Utah's a good team. I think Washington's a team on the mission. And I think that mission is to go to the playoffs. And I don't like them to lose until maybe the Apple Cup. So, give me Washington. I think they win by 2 touchdowns.
Give me Utah.
Winning by 20.
Give me Utah. I don't feel good about it, but I'll take Utah.
Yeah. All right, Dan, those are our picks. Sure to go wrong, but they may go right.
Oh, there's no way we'll get any of them right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 0
except
for 3
on
locks.
Except the ones we disagreed on.
Sure.
It's a good shot there for about 2 minutes.
We'll push.
All right.
We'll push.
All right, as we get ready to wrap up, anything you're looking forward to on this spooky Halloween weekend?
Usually every year, and it blew it because of the Penn State upset last week, but usually every year something weird happens on Halloween in college football.
Yeah.
Like something really screwy, like, I don't know, Iowa State beats, Oklahoma. I know they're not playing this week, but that's the kind of thing that happens. You know, Purdue beats somebody, and everybody's like, how the hell did that happen? So, keep your eye out for something real strange.
I'm excited this weekend just to watch some NBA basketball. Be a nice change of pace.
I love it.
Thank God. Because the NFL's so bad. you know what? And my fuck you of the week? NFL. Because guess who's in prime time later this year again? The Houston Texans. Just learned that too.
Nobody wants to watch them.
In Mexico City.
Will the smog cause everybody to pass out?
Hopefully the smog causes the TV cameras to explode. Or
that'd be funny.
Maybe just can't see the game.
That would be funny if like they do this really stupid stunt playing in Mexico City and then you can't see the game.
Or like maybe the truck gets stolen. It's like a Rio situation. So, and another fuck you to the NFL. Another game in London this week. God damn. Can we stop with the London games, please? Nobody wants it. And Dan, that game's going to be Cincinnati, Washington.
So. Oh my God. Well, of course. Let me clear my schedule so I can watch that excellent contest.
Yeah. So that's going to be a fun one. So, but anything else? You want to plug some stuff before we get out of here?
Check out the Champions of Heart podcast. We just went over the death of WCW this week. We finished up our year-long retrospective on WCW 2000 into 2001, and we put a button on it. Hmm. So,
talk Halloween Havoc 2000?
We did that a few months ago, yes. It was
spooky.
That's a crazy
spooky
one. Very spooky.
Yeah.
Honestly, this past week we talked an incredible amount about, like, Time Warner and AOL. We had a lot of AOL and Time Warner talk.
Which may have been bought again, so.
Yeah, well, you know, that was breaking news, you know, Time Warner being purchased by AT&T.
Which probably is going to get overruled, but we'll see.
Or it just won't work, because people who, like, content providers merging with content facilitators almost never works.
Never goes well. My plug of the week. I'm going to plug my Twitter account at Zachary T. Gilbert, but I'm going to plug another one at NBA Catwatch. NBA Catwatch is a Twitter account / blog dedicated to see which NBA and WNBA players have, you know, cats who has pet cats. And, they make a pretty cool little t-shirt. It's got a cat inside the NBA logo, and now they're selling koozies, and all the proceeds go to help an animal shelter. So it's a pretty cool cause. It's a cool looking t-shirt. If you pick it up, you're going to get a lot of questions. People are going to think it's cool. They've got koozies now. You're tailgating for the fall. It's perfect. Check out at NBA Catwatch. An awesome cause and a fun website if you're into pets. So something to look at.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Yeah. But all right.
Well, so with all that said, there's only one thing we can do, my friend. That's play the music, Jason.